So, Sophie, any questions you'd like to hear Sarah discuss about this patient?
Yeah, a couple questions. What do we know about the activity of everolimus and CDK4/6 inhibitors in the setting of ESR1 mutations? If someone has an ESR1 mutation, does that predict or lack of responsiveness to everolimus, exemestane, or CDK4/6 inhibitor?
So they looked at the presence of ESR1 mutations in patients getting fulvestrant and CDK4/6, and it did not have any difference in benefit, but that was with fulvestrant. There's no data that I'm aware of that's looked at exemestane and a CDK4/6 by ESR1 status, but one would guess that the exemestane is unlikely to work well in someone with an ESR1 mutation, but certainly the CDK4/6 could still have activity. So I think in this case, I'd prefer fulvestrant because of the mutation in combination with abemaciclib for her upon progression. And then, you know, I think your question then would be, well, would you use exemestane everolimus post-progression on that with the ESR1 mutation? And I'd say I still would try it because they're still getting mTOR inhibition. And so, you know, I think it's reasonable, but I would certainly be concerned that I'm not likely to see a big benefit out of the exemestane.
So again, any comments about taking care of this woman?
An interesting experience because she's a young woman and it's challenging because every time she has progression, it's symptomatic progression. And the other aspect is being a young woman, understandably, like she drove the fact that she wanted next generation sequencing. So the one thing she's always asked me about was adding hormonal therapy to the chemotherapy, to adding fulvestrant right now to the nab-paclitaxel that she's on. So I would be just curious to know about Dr. Tolaney's thoughts on adding the fulvestrant to chemotherapy at this time or waiting until progression.
That's actually a very interesting question, and I think we actually have very minimal data on this. So there was one trial that had looked at using tamoxifen concurrently with chemotherapy in the adjuvant setting, and based on those data, we were concerned that there may be some harm in giving concurrent endocrine therapy and chemotherapy. You know, I think the thought was that you put the cell almost into a G0 state by the giving the endocrine therapy, then chemotherapy wouldn't have activity. And so most trials have actually refrained from giving the two drugs concurrently. We actually saw data presented on a preoperative trial where endocrine therapy was given concurrently with the chemotherapy, and actually patients did well, if not slightly better than the other arm, making us think it definitely wasn't detrimental. So I will say we don't have enough data here to know if it's going to have synergistic activity or not. My practice has not been to give concurrent endocrine therapy and chemotherapy in the metastatic setting. One concern is I'm worried we're using up drugs too fast. If you're giving both drugs at the same time, you don't really know why they develop drug resistance at the time of progression, and then you're going to end up wasting both drugs at the same time. And so given the lack of data and given the fact that you're going to go through drugs more quickly, I tend to refrain from doing that.